be the Lord's will, if he would help us this morning, I'd like to try to speak to you a little bit about the subject of angels. I was thinking back how long it's been since I've tried to speak on this subject, and I know for a fact I've only tried to speak on the subject of angels one other time in the last 25 years that I have been trying to learn how to preach to God's people. That sounds kind of sad because there's so many occasions of the angels being mentioned in the Bible, and they seem to play such important roles. But we've certainly mentioned in passing and in studies in different times about angels doing various things and various acts. But in terms of just trying to speak about the subject of angels and see what it is that we can actually learn and know about them. You know, the Bible, the word angel is used in the Bible many, many times. Over 200 times. And there's a few things that we can know about them, but there's lots we cannot know. But I want to try to look, if the Lord would help us this morning, at some of the things that I feel like we do know about concerning these creatures called angels in the Bible. I want to talk primarily this morning, I believe, we'll have to see how the time goes, but I want to talk about characteristics of angels. Not so much all of the things that they do, the specific tasks that they do, but that will be something to look at. Well, I don't know how far I might get into some of that, but I mostly want to look at some of the characteristics about angels. The word angel means messenger. A messenger is the primary function or task of an angel. That's what the word means. They do many tasks, they do many things, but the word angel actually means messenger if you look it up. They are certainly created by God. An angel is not some kind of an eternal being. I think that's probably a great misunderstanding in the minds of a lot of the Lord's children. Angels are not eternal beings, but they are in fact created by the Lord. And so in Colossians 1:16, Paul writes, speaking about Jesus, he says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, both visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him," meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, "all things consist." Angels are created beings. They're not eternal. And so I've heard discussion before. Some folks have wondered about, well, if angels are created beings, when were they created? Well, that's a good question I'd like to know, but the Bible doesn't really tell us when God created the angels. But I can tell you this. Evidently, they were present at creation. Okay, because in Job chapter 38, it says that the sons of God, who I believe refers to angels there in that case, shouted for joy when the foundations and cornerstone of the earth were laid. So it says, that's telling me the angels were there in heaven present, and as God laid the very cornerstone and the foundations of this earth, the angels shouted for joy. So they were there. Now, it's possible God created them in the same week as creation. When the earth and everything in it was created, maybe he created them first just immediately before he created the earth, or maybe it was a while back, sometime before that. Bible doesn't tell us. But we know that angels are created, and they were at least there during creation when God created this earth. Another good question that you might have about angels is, how many angels did God create? Well, that's a number that's known only to God. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how many angels he created, but it gives us an idea that it's a whole lot of them. Okay, because in Revelation chapter 5, when John is describing part of his vision and revelation that God gave to him, John said that he beheld, that means he saw. He saw and he heard the voice of many angels about the throne, and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million, if you do the math. And, but he's not finished. And he says, and thousands of thousands. So it's 100. How many did you see, John? He says, I saw 100 million and thousands of thousands. I get the idea it's a whole lot of angels. It's a number for you and I. We don't know what it is, but it is known to God because he created them. So there are many, obviously, there are many, many angels that God has created. And you might remember that Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Roman soldiers came after Judas Iscariot betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, and the Roman soldiers came that night to capture and take control of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane there. You might remember that Jesus told Peter drew his sword to try to defend them, and Jesus told Peter to put his sword up, and he says, if I would want to, if I had a desire to, he says, I could call to my Father right now, and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels. Now, a legion is 6,000, and that would be 72,000 angels. Jesus told Peter, I could call to my Father right now, and he would send me more than 72,000 angels. I'm quite sure that one angel would be enough to take care of the job, but Jesus says, I could call as many angels as I wanted to, and my Father would send them. And so it's a great, great number of angels. And then also it's important that we know and understand that the angels that God created are subject unto him and unto Jesus Christ. They're not subject unto you and I. I've seen and heard of people before praying to various angels and asking for angels to perform various tasks for them and things like that. But the angels are not subject to you and I, but they are subject unto God who created them. In fact, Peter said that Jesus has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So that's where Jesus went back to heaven, and he says that everything that is there, including the angels, principalities and powers and whatever exists in heaven, all subject unto their creator, Jesus Christ. Remember what Paul said in Colossians? He said, by him, by Jesus Christ, do all things consist. So he made them all. They're all subject unto him. They're not subject unto you and I. But they're there and created for God to do his bidding and to do his work. Furthermore, angels, I think this is something that's a great area of misunderstanding for the Lord's children today, is that angels absolutely are not to be worshipped. We do not worship angels. We do not worship figurines of angels and images of angels and things like that. We do not pray to our guardian angel, if there be such a thing. And I sort of think there's some scriptural reference to that, but we do not pray to the angels. We pray and worship God and God alone. Okay? It's very important that we know that. Angels are not to be worshipped, because in Revelation in chapter 19, in the vision that John was receiving, it says during his vision, John saw an angel, and he says that he fell at the angel's feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. He told him, worship God. So we do not fall at the feet of angels. Should one appear before us, should one appear right now, we do not fall down and worship angels. He says, see that thou do it not. He says, I am thy fellow servant. So what are angels? One thing the Bible tells us and we can know for sure is that angels are spiritual beings. God created the angels and they're spiritual beings. That's what they are. Psalms 104 verse 4 says, God makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. In Hebrews 1:14, Paul, speaking and writing about angels, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So there's your best definition of an angel to me as to what they are. They are ministering spirits that God created for God to be in control of and to send forth to minister as needed and as directed unto those who are the heirs of salvation. That's you and I. You and I, along with the entire family of God. That's why angels were created. They're created to not only to worship God in heaven and to praise Him, but created to be helpers and ministering spirits sent forth to minister to you and I. So there's true, real Bible definition of what angels are. Friends, this morning, people have all sorts of ideas in their minds about angels, and they have just believed different things. They've read and heard different things, but I think it's very important that God has shared these facts with us about what angels are. So they're spiritual beings, and God has made them. Now, I would say that based on what we find in the scriptures, ordinarily angels are not visible most of the time. If you go to 2 Kings and in chapter 6, you'll find an occasion there where the prophet Elisha and his servant were surrounded by a Syrian army throughout the night. They were on a mountain, and throughout the night the Syrian army came and with their chariots and horses, and they surrounded Elisha. And in the morning when they awoke, Elisha's servant looked around and he saw what was happening, and he saw the host of the Syrian army there, and he became very fearful and he became very concerned. Well, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this jam? We're surrounded here. We're greatly outnumbered. But do you remember, if you go over there and read, do you remember what Elisha's answer was to his servant? He says, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he prayed to God that God would open his eyes and let him see. And we did. And God opened the eyes of Elisha's servant. And lo and behold, all around the mountain, the top of the mountain where they were at, were chariots of fire and horses there. Angels sent from God, ready to defend. And that's exactly what happened in that case. So the servant's eyes were open and he was able to see the angels that God had sent to help them. I would say ordinarily that we do not see that many angels. Now, there are certainly some occasions where angels did appear in the scriptures, but ordinarily I think they come and they do God's bidding, being unseen and without us knowing about it many times. Who knows how many times you and I got in our lives, in situations in our lives, who knows how many times we may have been in danger and never knew it. But yet God sent an angel to protect us. Who knows? There's no way to know that. And so, do you also remember in Numbers chapter 22, you remember there was a prophet of God named Balaam, and the king of Moab saw the Israelites coming up next to them, and he saw how they were defeating all of their enemies and their foes, and he got scared for his kingdom there in Moab, and so he tried to hire the prophet Balaam to go and to curse the children of Israel. And when you read the account over there, you'll find out how that God intervened, and God told Balaam, do not curse them, for these people are blessed. And there's an occasion over there where you go and you find the prophet Balaam. He has gotten up in the morning and he has saddled his ass and he has climbed on it and began riding it, and he's going along, and all of a sudden the ass just turns out of the way. In other words, he's trying to steer it one way, and the ass on its own turns out of the way. Well, Balaam certainly was angered at that, and he smote. It says that he smote the ass for it. Then there was another time that the ass turned out into the field and got off of the trail in the direction that Balaam was wanting to go. And then a third time, it says that the ass came along, and you see what was happening. If you go over there and read that, I thought about maybe going, I don't want to read it all. We're not going to have time. But what was happening as Balaam was riding upon his ass, the ass could actually see an angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn. You see, the Lord was angry that Balaam had elected to go and to make this journey and this trip to go do whatever he was intending to do. The Lord was angry with Balaam, and he sent an angel and was standing in the way, had his sword drawn, and the ass that he was riding on could see it, but Balaam could not see it. So three times the ass turned out of the way, and three times Balaam smote the ass. And then that's when, if you go over there and read it, that's the incredible story where it says that the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and it began to speak unto Balaam. And so there you have Balaam's riding this donkey, and all of a sudden, after he has beaten the donkey three times because of disobedience and not wanting to go where he wants it to, this thing begins to speak all of a sudden and begins to ask me, why are you doing all this? Long story short, the Lord opened the eyes of the prophet Balaam, and he saw the angel standing in the way with his sword drawn, and he fell and he put his face on the ground. He realized what he had done. So he could not see the angel until God opened his eyes and let him see it and revealed it to him. I just wonder how many times in life maybe does that happen to you or I or friend, people that we know, that angels are going about their business and doing things and yet we're unable to see them. Whenever they do appear, sometimes they appear and you and I are able to see angels, or characters in the Bible were able to see an angel. And when they do appear, usually they appear as an ordinary man. Every case that the Bible records of an angel appearing, they appear as an ordinary man. And you might remember in Genesis chapter 18, you remember when Abraham was sitting in the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And along comes three men. Well, two of those men were angels, and one was some type of a limited manifestation of the Lord, because one of those three sat there and spoke and talked with Abraham, and the Bible says, if you go look at that conversation, it says the Lord spake unto Abraham. Now, I know that in other places in the Scripture, it says God says, no man's able to look upon my face and live. So he did not see the Lord in his ultimate pure glory. This was some type of limited manifestation of the Lord that was before Abraham. But it was three men. It just says it was three men. And that's when the Lord says that I have heard the cries from Sodom, from the city of Sodom, and what was taking place there. And he says, I'm going to see what happens. And in the end, that's when he ends up, those two angels that were with the Lord, they went all the way to Sodom, those two men did. And you might remember that story, how that they got there and they met Abraham's nephew, was Lot, who was living there in Sodom, along with his family, his wife and his two daughters. And the angels came into the city, and they came to Lot's house specifically, and they were sent there for a reason. They were to take Lot and his family out of the city of Sodom before they destroyed it. And that's why they went there. You might remember that the angels came and they went into Lot's house. Well, some of those evil and wicked men of the city of Sodom saw them enter into Lot's house, and later that night they came and began to beat upon the door and demand that Lot send those two men out into the streets that we may know them. And so given the grievous sins that were taking place, and that city was famous for, you might imagine how terrible of a situation that could have involved into. But Lot stepped outside and began to try to dissuade the evil men of the street from, he says, these are guests in my home. And he says, please do not do these things. And so the men got rowdy, and it says that the two angels reached outside and they drugged Lot back inside and they closed the door and they smote all the evil men with blindness. And so he protected Lot and his family in that situation. But those were two angels. But you know what they look like? Ordinary men. There's no description beyond that. It just looked like two men came into the city. Some people have asked, and a good question, are there any women that are angels? And you know, the answer to that, the best answer to that would be, well, there's no examples given of it in the Bible. I'm not saying that they don't exist, but there's no examples in the scriptures. All the examples have been men. And so that's all we can know about that. But also, there was a time in Judges chapter 13, you remember a character named Samson, a Bible character named Samson, who had the great strength. Well, his father was named Manoah, and his mother was not named. It just says Manoah's wife. But if you go over there and read in Judges chapter 13, you'll read about how an angel came and appeared unto Manoah and his wife and told them about the upcoming and impending birth of their son, Samson. And that angel said that he appeared several times. He appeared to his wife first, and then later on, Manoah was there when the angel appeared unto them, and they told them about they were going to have a son. By the way, Manoah's wife, it was said in the scriptures, she was barren. You remember what said last week, that how interesting it is that so many of the very prominent and significant figures in the Bible, the wives were barren for a time, period of time, until God blessed them with a child. That's just very unusual. But here it is. Samson's mother was barren until God blessed with a child. But the point I wanted to make is this man came, and he's not described in any way other than just being a man or an angel that appeared unto them and had this conversation. And they did not know that it was an angel until at the very end of that story, when they were making an offering, a burnt offering upon a rock, and flames of fire came and began to consume that offering. And it says that the angel was caught up to heaven in the flames. And it was at that point only when Manoah and his wife realized that was an actual angel that they were speaking to. There was nothing to give it away, in other words, nothing about his speech or his clothing or anything like that. He appeared as a natural man in that case. Also, we find, I guess we don't really have a description in these cases, but in Luke chapter 1, you can find it described where the angel Gabriel, there's several angels mentioned by name in the Bible. Gabriel was one, and then Michael, the archangel, was another. But the angel Gabriel seems to be like a chief messenger angel, because Gabriel is the one that is delivering these very important messages. In fact, Gabriel is named as the one that appeared unto Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, who was a priest and was doing his priestly duties, and he was inside the temple. And interestingly enough, it says that he was standing by the altar of incense, which we just tried to preach upon last week or two. He was standing by that altar, and an angel appeared unto Zacharias to tell him that he and his wife Elizabeth would also have a son. By the way, guess who was barren? Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. She was also barren until God granted this son, John the Baptist. But an angel appeared unto them. And so you had an angel that appeared both to Zacharias and unto Elizabeth. You also, it says that the same angel, the angel Gabriel, was the one that appeared unto Mary and also to Joseph in a dream concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you find Gabriel appearing there several times. And what is he doing? He's bringing messages. bringing very important messages. And we have other times where angels are encountered in the scriptures and their names are not given. In fact, there's a time or two where someone asks, "What is your name?" and they would not give it. And so, but here's a case where it was Gabriel, very clearly. So they usually appear as ordinary men, seems to be the case. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, Paul writes over there, he says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares." You know what that tells me? That angels oftentimes just look like an ordinary man. He says, be careful. He says, don't forget about entertaining strangers and being nice to strangers, because some people have entertained them and they've been angels and they never knew it. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had any experiences that have made you wonder about something like that. I know a person or two that this has happened to, and it sounded very, very convincingly. It's very possible that they might have had an encounter with an angel, but I don't know for sure. I can tell you this. I'll just share one with you real quick. Fuller's Chapel, Primitive Baptist Church in North Little Rock, Arkansas, their former pastor, he was pastor for about 40 years, his name is Elder James Winston. Now, the current pastor is Brother Gary Rhodes. He's a good friend of mine. And he was from Texas, but he's moved up to Arkansas and is pastoring there at Fuller's Chapel. One day, after Elder James Winston had been preaching and been pastor for about 30 years, he finished preaching and he stood up and he announced to the church that it felt like it was time for him to step down from the ministry. And of course, everybody was shocked. Even his wife did not know anything about it. This is something he had been praying about for a long, long time. So everyone, after service, everyone was kind of in a daze and in shock. There were several of the men folks standing just outside the door and outside talking, and they said that a well-dressed young man just came walking up the street. And he just casually walking up the street. When he got to the church, he turned in and he walked right up to the group of men and he says, "I need to see your pastor, please." Well, they tried to tell him it's not really a good time for that, but he kept on and he insisted. And so they ushered him inside. They brought him to Elder James Winston. And he says, he walked up to Brother James and he says, "I have a message for you." He says, and he told him these are exact words, "God will let you know when your ministry's finished." And he turned around and he walked out. And of course, everyone was shocked at that. And he didn't say anything else. And I heard this, Elder James Winston told me this in person. We were sitting at the lunchroom table one day, and he told me this in person. This really happened. He says, "God will let you know when your ministry's finished, when your work is done." I think that was his exact words. "When your work is finished, God will let you know." And he walked out. Well, everybody's a little talking, a little buzz picked up. And in just a moment, somebody says, "Go get that man again." And of course, they all ran outside and looked. And he had just walked down the street and they saw him turn a corner, but they never could find him again. He was gone. I'm just saying, who knows whenever we might have an occasion and we might entertain angels unawares. That's what Paul cautioned us to do. So I think ordinarily they would appear as ordinary men. But you know, sometimes they appear in the scriptures in white clothing. And a couple of instances there was in Acts chapter 1, at the ascension of Christ, as Christ, the disciples, apostles, saw Jesus Christ ascending back into heaven in Acts chapter 1. It says, two men appeared to the disciples in white clothing and began to question them, "Why stand ye here gazing into the heavens?" And telling them that this same Jesus whom you've seen ascending, he's going to return to the earth in like manner. The same way that you're seeing him go up into the clouds now, he's going to return. It says it was two men in white. Well, obviously it was two angels. Again, they were men. There was also the time in Acts chapter 10 when you had the man Cornelius. You might remember the man Cornelius. We've looked at that before. But whenever Peter finally made it to Cornelius's house to preach the gospel, and Peter had had the vision himself, and he was there in Joppa, and Cornelius sent for him. Well, Peter came, and Peter got to Cornelius's house, and he says, "Why have you sent for me? For what reason have you sent for me?" And Peter told him, he said, "A man in bright clothing stood before me and said, 'Thy prayer is heard, and thine alms have been heard,'" and so on and so forth. But Cornelius said the angel that he saw was a man in white clothing. So there's two instances where angels appeared with the white clothing. Also, you might remember at Jesus' tomb when the women went early on the first day of the week, there were several angels there whose garments were described as white and shining. Sometimes they're ordinary men, sometimes the garments were white and shining. It would be very obvious if someone appeared before me in white and shining garments. I feel like I'd have a good idea it's probably an angel. So that's what we can learn from the scriptures. Also, there are two other creatures that the Bible says that God created. That would be the cherubim and the seraphim. Now, the cherubims are mentioned a good many times in the scriptures. The seraphims are only mentioned, I believe, in the book of Isaiah. Only one time they're mentioned. But they're two different creatures, and both the cherubs and the seraphims, both are described as having wings. They have their descriptions are a little bit different. But here are two, I'm going to say, angelic-type beings that do have wings. Now, I'm not saying they're angels, but they seem to be angelic-type beings. They have functions, but you can read about cherubims and seraphims. They have wings. Angels are never described as having wings in the scriptures. Never in any place. Psalms 18 says that David said that God rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. No mention of wings. It appears that angels have the ability to fly, even though they're never described as having wings, because the prophet Daniel described Gabriel. He said he saw Gabriel fly in the book of Daniel, and then twice John the Apostle in the book of Revelation, he described an angel flying in two different places, neither one with any description of wings. So they certainly, we can gather, they have no issue with mobility. Angels are certainly able to be dispensed and sent and to go wherever God needs them. So we can learn that much. Another characteristic of angels is that they do not marry and they cannot die. A couple of places in the scriptures where they had some Jews that were trying to trick the Lord Jesus, giving him certain conditions and situations about a man who was married, and then he died, and then his wife married his brother, and then he died, and so on and so forth and on. That happened many times, and they were trying to trick Jesus and confuse him, and almost with a little bit of mirth, they said, "Whose wife is she?" And during that conversation, Jesus told them that you don't understand. There's a lot that you don't know, and there's a lot that you don't understand. But he basically told them that the children of the resurrection are like the angels in that they do not marry and that they do not die. And so angels, you might be said of angels, that they do possess eternal life in terms of they'll never die, just like you and I. But angels were created. They don't possess eternal life from eternity past like God. God, the Father, and God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the only ones that are eternal and have always been here throughout all eternity past, if that word even means anything. But from now going forward, the angels, it says, cannot die. And also you and I, the children of the resurrection, Jesus says, we're equal to the angels in that we cannot die. So we learn that. And all these interesting things about angels, there's so many confusing beliefs in the world today, but when you really dig into the scriptures, you can kind of nail down some of these things. The angels are not married in heaven, and you and I will not be married in heaven, but we will have a heavenly bridegroom. We'll have a heavenly husband, but we will not have our natural relationships that we're accustomed to here on earth. Also, some people have asked, can angels sing? Well, I'm not sure. I can say this. I really, really have not found a scripture ever that says specifically that angels are singing. But I'll tell you, over in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, there's a verse over there. It says this. John is having his vision. He sees this taking place in heaven. And he sees, if you go over there and read, he sees there's four beasts. This is around the throne of God. He sees four beasts, four creatures, 24 elders. By the way, I don't think that's elders as in we use the term today, preachers. I don't think that's 24 preachers. The Bible doesn't tell us who they are. I don't really think that term means the same. But there's 24 elders around the throne. And their angels are in the scene, and maybe all the souls and spirits of the children of God that have gone to heaven that are there now, maybe they're there in the presence. Where else would they be, right? Maybe it doesn't say they're there. But listen to what it said in verse 9. They're singing a song. In Revelation 5, 9, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And so someone there in that scene is singing a song about redemption. They're singing a new song and saying, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Well, I think probably the elders and the beast could certainly be maybe singing that. And the departed souls of the saved who would be there in heaven, they could certainly be singing that because God has redeemed them. He's redeemed them from their sins and redeemed them from the curse of sin and from the wrath of God, but not the angels. The angels, they might... maybe they're singing that song, but they could not honestly and truly be singing about redemption because there is no redemption for an angel, a fallen angel. In fact, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about that, but there's no redemption for a fallen angel. I think I'll try to maybe save that and for the next part on the angels here about all the different scriptures that talk about that. But there is no redemption for a fallen angel because you know what Jesus said? In Hebrews 2:16, Paul said this about what the Lord did in his work. He said, verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That's what Jesus did. And there's other places in the scriptures that tell us about God has taken the angels that fell and has reserved them under chains of darkness and waiting for a judgment day. Okay? Jesus did not come to redeem fallen angels. If an angel fell, in which some of them did, they fell and they have messed up and there's no fixing it. Unlike you and I, Jesus took on the nature of the seed of Abraham, so he came to redeem you and I. We were a fallen race, and we have been redeemed, and guess what? It would be appropriate for you and I to sing this song in Revelation 5:9. But can you see how the angels really could not be singing that? Because there is no redemption for an angel. So I just think that's a good clue right there that I'm not saying they can't sing or they don't sing, but I've not really found the scriptures that says they do. About the closest thing that I could find to it is in Job chapter 38, what I mentioned earlier, speaking about creation. If you read that whole verse, 38 verse 7, it says, "The morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy." Now, the morning stars, maybe that just means angels. And so, if so, it said they sang together and there were angels that were shouting. And does it really mean singing out like with musically, like you and I think about singing? I don't know. If you find a verse that you think proves that angels sing, please share it with me. I'm just saying I have not found it yet. So a lot of folks have asked that. So there are many, many angels that God has created. They have very, very many functions. I think we could actually talk longer about some of the different functions and tasks that an angel does than we could about the descriptions and characteristics. This is mostly what I could find out in digging, pouring through the scriptures and trying to think. This is about the extent of information that God seems to give us about the characteristics of angels. We do know this, that he made many angels, and we do know that some of them fell. We might not understand all the circumstances about the fallen angels, but we know that there are angels that fell. The Bible tells us that. And so I believe that's how you ended up with evil angels. Okay, sometimes you might see the phrase an evil angel. I think that just means a fallen angel. It's not an angel that God created to be evil from the beginning. I don't believe God ever created anything to be evil like that from the beginning. But you might, just for an instance concerning fallen angels, just to see a few verses, and we'll just try to close this morning just with a few of these thoughts. Matthew chapter 25. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now these are not angels that Satan created himself. Satan does not have the power to create angels, but I think these are the fallen angels that have gone along and sided with Satan. This hell is created and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned..." Okay, see, it was possible for an angel to sin, but there's no redemption for it. "If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment..." And then that sentence continues on and on. It's a very long sentence. Jude verse 6. No need for the chapter, is it? Jude verse 6. It says, "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." I've always said that I believe hell is a dark place. And these are the reasons why I believe that. They're reserved under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. 2 Peter said God delivered the fallen angels into chains of darkness. I believe hell's going to be a very dark place. It's not going to be a place where people are going to reminisce down there. It's going to be dark and they're going to be suffering. And they're not going to be very comfortable. But it's going to be justly. They will be justly suffering for their sins and their evil works that they committed and their ungodly sins here in this world, every single one, and they'll know why they're there. In Revelation chapter 12, it says over there that a war took place between Michael, who would be the archangel, one of the archangels or leader position angels. A war took place between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels. I can't tell you any more beyond that about this war, exactly where it took place and all of that. But that's what it says, and John saw and recorded that in Revelation chapter 12. So we know for a fact there are such things as fallen angels. So you remember a while back, we talked about needing to put on the armor of God. And we, my goodness, do we need it and how we need it. But we talked about our enemies, it's not our adversaries, not flesh and blood, but it's these unseen powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness and could be fallen angels and ones that are on Satan's team and helping Satan. Those are our real enemies. That's why we need the armor of God so critically in our lives. But isn't it interesting, though, to consider about these angels? It just makes me kind of wish I knew more. I wish I knew a little more about them, but God doesn't tell us everything. But there are a lot of things that we can look at, and hopefully next time we'll try to continue on and stay on the subject. We can look at some of the different tasks that God has assigned unto angels and some of the examples of where they appeared and what they did. I think that's very interesting as well. Well, thank you for your very good attention. May God bless you this morning.